Okay. Thanks so much, everyone, for coming in late afternoon and especially on an incredibly beautiful day. I appreciate your being here. I wanted to say a few words about cleaning and disinfecting. In this case, it will be in the home healthcare setting as it relates especially to AIDS, but also to client health as well. I want to acknowledge many co-collaborators, co-authors, in particular our collaboration over many years with the Massachusetts Department of Public Health Occupational Health Surveillance Program. Elise Pector is here in the room, and she's been working on this topic for a long time, especially at APHA, and we're also incredibly grateful to NIOSH for funding this. So much more interesting than a list of names, I think, is Alan Barris, Elise, and Daniel, who's going to be speaking next. It takes a village to do these studies, and this is the research team.
Can you move the arrow so it's not right in the middle of your thing?
Okay, sure.
Yeah, great. Unless you want it there.
Okay. First, what I'd like to do is give a brief introduction to the topic of cleaning and disinfection and how it relates to occupational health and infection prevention, and then talk about a specific project in home care where we've taken some of the concepts and applied them. So infection prevention is, I think most of us in this room know, essential in all kinds of healthcare settings, and including in home healthcare. The cleaning and disinfecting of environmental surfaces is an important part of infection prevention strategy. And environmental surfaces are things like countertops, bed rails, toilets, touch points in a patient or client's care setting. And environmental surface cleaning is itself an essential part of infection prevention programs. So there's an increasing need for cleaning and disinfection, especially in healthcare, and especially driven by a concern for increasing pathogens, the especially multi-drug resistant microorganisms. At the same time, there's increasing evidence that cleaning and disinfecting products and some applications are associated with respiratory illness, including asthma. And asthma and other respiratory illness have been identified specifically among healthcare workers. And some of that work was done by Elise Pector, Tish Davis, and others in the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. So these worlds were running in parallel, infection prevention and occupational safety and health. And because of this limited collaboration, there was no framework in which both could be optimized. They were even running a risk of working at cross purposes. And both effectiveness, meaning ability to kill pathogens or at least reduce them effectively, and safety, meaning not causing respiratory, dermal, or other kinds of hazards, could be optimized together. And there was a cleaning and disinfecting in healthcare working group that was put together by NIOSH and established in order to develop this, at least to see what kinds of research and practice needs we had in order to put together a more integrated framework. So this was a first step. Just this year, quite recently, the working group published a paper to summarize the future needs and research practices in order to develop this more integrated framework. The working group had about 40 individuals. There are 19 authors on the paper, again, including Elise Pector, member of the working group. Among the identified research and practice needs were ones for exposure assessment and evaluation of the comparative effectiveness of cleaning and disinfecting products, especially trying to see if we could find safer products that were also effective. So that's where this study that I'll be telling you more about comes in, is looking at that framework and trying to take some of those needs for future research and practice guidance and apply it and or investigate it in the home healthcare setting. And we've had a project in home care going now for about 10 years. And this particular, I'll be telling you about the part of it that relates to cleaning and disinfecting. One of the first things we wanted to do is find out the extent to which cleaning and disinfecting actually happens in home care. There are CDC guidelines for cleaning and disinfecting of environmental surfaces in hospitals and outpatient clinics. There are no guidelines for the home care setting. We wanted to evaluate the prevalence of some infection hazards, assess products and their ingredients for respiratory health concerns, do some comparative effectiveness studies in our laboratory to compare conventional off-the-shelf cleaning products with so-called environmentally preferable or green that were supposed to also be healthier. And we just start, I'll show you some preliminary results from that. And we've also been developing some training for home care aides. So I'm just going to show you mostly results. We have that are derived from the following methods of focus groups and interviews, of cross-sectional survey, and then some preliminary results from an experimental design in a lab that compares products. So one of the things we were trying to do is really understand what cleaning, this is from the focus groups, before we quantified the prevalence of cleaning, we wanted to understand why home care aides clean and what they actually do. And there's a general, I think, pervasive image in society that deriving from the labor categorization of home care aides as in companionship services. And just this year, the Department of Labor has decided to qualify them out of companionship services in which babysitters were also categorized. So this is a struggle to really recognize the work itself. And we asked home care aides why they clean. There was this idea that maybe they sort of tidy up while they're doing their companionship or babysitting job. But you can see from these quotes that they understand that they're cleaning for the reduction of microorganisms or for infection prevention. So following the focus groups, we did a survey. We conducted a survey on a range of health and safety issues. And my colleague Daniel Ochery will be presenting on another portion of this in a moment. The survey also asked about infection hazards and cleaning and disinfecting practices. And we administered the survey. It was paper and pencil. It had two parts of it. One was a fairly standard occupational health part where we're asking about demographic information, work experience, and exposures. The second part we were really quite pleased with in that it focused on, the unit of analysis was the visit. So we asked each aide who took the questionnaire to report on a specific and fairly detailed set of exposures and practices that occurred in her last visits, up to five visits. So we had detailed information on the visits. This is different than asking an aide, on average, how much do you clean over the past year? But we actually said, in this specific visit, did you clean and what did you do? And I'll show you the data we were able to derive from that questionnaire, portion of the questionnaire. The questionnaire was given to about almost 1,250 aides who were employed through agencies and SEIU, one union. The agency, there was about half and half aides. The direct hire aides are represented by the union. And we had almost 3,500 visits with specific information about occupational health and safety conditions. Just quickly, who the population is. AIDS, like most of our working populations, are aging. They're predominantly female, but a significant and growing portion are men. And this is the breakdown by race and ethnicity. Just to show you, this is now looking at the data that are the visit data, so almost 3,500 visits. In those visits, about 20% 20% were exposed to feces, 25% had clients who were incontinent, 4% knew that their clients had an infectious illness. And in home care, unlike other healthcare institutions, aides are often asked to take care of pets and clean up pet waste. There are some conditions that happen in a home care setting that I don't think happen in the hospitals. But so the cleaning and disinfecting of these 3,500 almost visits, the vast majority of them performed cleaning and the cleaning of the bathroom and the kitchen, so 80%. At least 25% of them used bleach, 8% ammonia, and I think in total other kinds of, we use the word strong chemicals, it, with these combined it was about 35% were using some kind of chemical. So then we went back and did more focus groups to find out what products are being used, and then we searched tox databases, et cetera, to find the ingredients. You'll be familiar with many of these products. They're off-the-shelf commercial products, meaning off the grocery store shelf. And we group them in broad categories of sensitizers. You can see them here. I'm sure most of you are familiar. And irritants. And these were in many of the commercial products. So something we concluded from the survey and the focus groups is that, in fact, the great majority of home care aid visits do cleaning and disinfection. And the purpose of this is for infection prevention. And aides are using a wide range of products, including, and actually with many of them, having ingredients of respiratory health concern. So now I'm just going to quickly jump to show you some preliminary results from a laboratory study design. We're working with a clinical microbiologist, Professor Nancy Goodyear at our university, and looking at taking conventional products and environmentally preferable products, which we've searched and could find no respiratory hazards of concern earlier, some of these did, and a do-it-yourself formulation that actually came from a published book using club soda and tea tree oil. The first part of this, and we did this on different surfaces that are found in the home. I'm showing you some results from stainless steel. We've done them on ceramic and formica. The first is to look at cleaning effectiveness, and there is an ASTM method. Clean is the percent of soil removed, in this case from stainless steel. And you'll see that bleach removes almost 100%. The environmentally preferable one is pretty close to bleach in terms of removing of surface soil, and the do-it-yourself did not perform as quite as well. If we look at disinfection effectiveness now, which is the potential or the ability to remove, in this case, surfaces that were inoculated with E. coli and Staphylococcus aureus, we see that this is the E. coli and this is the staph, the light gray, dark gray. Bleach is almost considered a positive standard for the removal of these microorganisms. The environmentally preferable did almost as well. This scale here is a log scale. In infection prevention community, a 5-log reduction is considered having eliminated the microorganism. The 3-log reduction, I think, is a limit that's used by EPA to say that there is an effective disinfecting agent. This particular do-it-yourself blend didn't do quite as well. So this is the kind, we're repeating this on multiple surfaces just to compare the effectiveness. Next, what we're doing is we are now enrolling apartments where we're set to assess pathogenic microorganisms and to compare the effectiveness of these products, not moving from the lab actually to the home setting, and then evaluating airborne and dermal hazards. This is a separate experiment. We're going back to the lab, creating bathrooms, and home care aides we're recruiting them. We're coming in and doing cleaning. We're doing air sampling and dermal sample as well. And this is in conjunction with NIOSH Respiratory Health Division in Morgantown. And again, we're trying to do this to identify potential for public health interventions. I'll just say quickly, we've recognized that while aides are using these products, they're also cleaning homes where people live, and these products, some of them linger. So we've created a training module for aides who are cleaning for clients with asthma, chronic bronchitis, and other respiratory allergies. And we did this at the request of community health clinics who called us to say, what kind of instructions should be given to the home healthcare aides who are taking when an elder or other client is returning from a hospital, needs home care, and they have asthma. And so we looked at this combined. We were happy that this module now has been included in a state training, online interactive training for home care aides that primarily focuses on the clinical practice, but we have this occupational health and safety module that's now incorporated. It too is available online and you can access all of it. For more information and our methods, we have a website and you can download papers to get more details. So thank you.
Right on.